I just wanted to start off with a correction from the last episode. It turns out there isn't a limit to the number of dragon souls she can absorb. That was just a glitch that Austin got temporarily. So, sorry about that. Mistake.
Well, if we're going to go on mistakes, I should mention that my horse wasn't actually dead, but I did manage to kill it later.
Speaking of mistakes, this one wasn't mine. This was just the game. I'm sure players of the PC version have discovered just occasionally the mouse and the scroll wheel and stuff confuse the menus up. I found a dog at McCarth that I could buy for $500, and I thought, well, I wanted a dog, but I don't want to spend $500 on it. So I tried to get out of that conversation and end up accidentally, through this glitch, buying a dog. And then the next freaking mission I was on, the dog gets killed.
Well, yeah, okay, so you're talking about the mouse glitch. The first, when I was first playing on my Steam version of the game, I walked into a shop in Whiterun, and I wanted to buy some stuff, and I wanted to sell some stuff. So I'm selling apparel. And as I'm walking out of the shop, one of the Battleborn tells me, you might want to put some clothes on. Because I had managed to sell everything I was wearing.
I've had similar things. I was in the Temple of Mara, and I was in cupboards, so I threw a bunch of silver rings on the ground. As I'm walking out, there's this guy there I didn't notice before, so I decided to talk to him, and he goes, oh, I noticed you threw some stuff on the ground. Here, have it back. It's like, what? What is this? And I had another one like this. I was in an inn, and I bumped a broom. The broom fell on the ground, and some guy goes, watch what you're doing.
I was actually in the Solitudes. I was a Lady Elef's, a Jarl Elef's place, and I knocked over a plate of food, and nobody noticed. But I was in Whiterun, and I put stuff down on the ground, and someone walked by going, look at these people littering the place, thinking they could put their junk wherever they want.
It's very surprising and adds flavor, and I'm kind of amazed that I've gotten this far into the game without having noticed it before.
Well, if you want some weird coincidence kind of things, I was in Solitude. I just come out of the part of the main quest where you infiltrate the Thalrim, whatever they are. Thalmor, there you go, the Thalmor Embassy. And so right as you come out and you're going back to meet Delphine, apparently a dragon can spawn right then. So that's fine, I'm fighting the dragon.
Dragon can spawn anytime it wants.
Right, well, it spawned right then and there. So I'm fighting the dragon, and then I notice I'm taking damage from swords. And I look around, and suddenly there's a bandit chief attacking me. Like, are you kidding me?
That's when you feed the bandit chief to the dragon. Yeah, I've killed maybe 5 or 6 dragons at the Mage's College now. They like spawning there, and it's really not good for their health.
No, it's not. They all come out and wail on it.
The dragons like spawning near towns, it seems like, because every time I arrive at a new place, a dragon shows up. And it's like, I just arrived at Dawnstar, and suddenly this dragon shows up while I'm talking to someone else, because Lydia is, like, shooting up at it. And this dragon apparently had a very hard time getting at me, because there was too many houses. There was, like, a lot of small little houses and a lot of little alleys that I could hide in and, yell or shout up at it. And eventually the dragon just, like, crashed into the side of a building, slid down onto the ground, and then I, like, ran over and just started hacking it with my fire sword and fire breath and finished it off. But it was an epic battle. And there was another one where there was a fort, and I don't remember the name of the fort, but I think it was an enemy fort, and the dragon flew into the middle of it, shooting fire at it, so they came out to fight the dragon, and then I had joined in fighting, and none of my guys, got hit. But the horse, for some reason, stood right in front of the dragon, took a full face of fire, and didn't even seem to bat an eye for some reason.
See, so you have a horse that withstands dragon fire. What I discovered happened when I finally realized my horse hadn't died. It had just wandered off, and then eventually spawned back wherever I had fast traveled. But I was in the middle of a dragon battle, and I thought maybe the dragon had killed it, but no, it was a saber cat.
I had two horses jump off a cliff yesterday. There was a dragon, so they ran and they fell off a cliff and died.
Sometimes I wish my followers would do that instead of having me kill them by accident.
And there was a third dragon that showed up at Dragon Bridge, and as I was shouting at it, Imperials got in the way, and so they decided to start attacking me. And I ran off because I had killed the dragon, but I didn't want to piss off the town too much, so I just, you know, jumped down the river and left. But the dog, Barbaz, stayed behind fighting them. And so when I went back there to pay the fine, the two guards he was fighting were dead, and nobody cared anymore. I was like, okay.
Okay, so let's talk about witnesses for a second, because I was in Markarth, and I was doing the main Markarth plot there, the conspiracy of the Forlorn, right? And at one point, the city guard turned on me, and I'm in the temple of Talos, I think, yeah. And they've killed my informant, and the guards have decided to kill me. This is where the dog dies. But anyway, guards rush in from the door, and the guards are already in there, so I'm sandwiched in this corridor, which is why the dog dies. Probably friendly fire for all I know. Literally fire. And, of course, quote-unquote, for friendly. So I kill all of them, and when I kill the last guard, it actually says, last witness killed. Bounty of 1,000 removed. But it was weird, because then I went outside, and another guard came at me anyway, despite the fact that... So, yes, I the witnesses of killing those guards were dead, so the bounty of killing guards was gone, but the guards were still after me for the trumped-up charges. So I surrendered, and then you get to do this mission where you get thrown in jail.
They apparently can see through walls, too. I was in Solitude Jarl's house, and I was in a room that I thought nobody else was in, so I picked up a healing potion, and suddenly they say, oh, you know, they caught me, but it was like, it took a while for them to run over to get me, and I was like, how do you guys see through the walls now? I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I had in Riften. The whole Dark Brotherhood thing starts with an assassination of this orphanage teacher, right? Or at least I believe it is. That's as far as I've gotten.
Yeah, it does.
So I went in there, met the kids. They told me to get lost. I went into the old bags room, hid in the corner, waited for her to come in, and then shot an arrow in the back of her neck. She died. Well, all the kids were really happy about this, but the assistant teacher was all freaked out that she was going to get killed. But nobody saw me do it. Even the person I killed, I got a sneak attack on them. So I don't... it's a little bit dodgy that way.
I think some of that stuff might even be scripted, where if you kill somebody in a certain town, maybe it just pushes some flag off.
Speaking of not being able to kill kids, there's now a mod that lets you kill kids. And I have to say, the screenshots that they have of this mod are just disturbing. You got this like guy with this massive sword rendered through a kid. It's like, I don't need to see this.
Speaking of disturbing, I found this house called Lund's House. And it was full of skeevers, and he's laying dead on the bed, and the house is just filthy and disgusting. It's like watching an episode of Hoarders or something.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. So they have a nod to that. There are some Easter eggs in this game, apparently. I wonder if that's one of them.
Okay, so disturbing stuff. I mentioned the Black Door before, which is the Brotherhood, Dark Brotherhood's base. But we were talking about different houses you could own, and we'll come back to that. But I mentioned there was a house that you could get for free in Markarth. I have to take that back, Austin. When I say free, I mean you have to bludgeon a guy to death three times over.
Yeah, I know.
So this is an abandoned house. This guy comes up and he says, we've heard some activity in this place, and we believe that it's haunted or there's demon or something in there. So you go in there, and yeah, the place is pretty screwed up. There's demons like, you're strong and he's weak, kill him. So you start the quest by killing the guy you're in the house with. If you don't kill him, then the door locks anyway, and he pits you one-on-one anyway, so you have no choice. One of you is going to come out alive, and one's going to die. So getting out of that, you then go down to the basement, you find that there's this temple for some Daedric prince, I assume. I don't remember what he's like represents. He's just an evil bugger. Anyway, there's a priest of some other prince that is the opposite of this one, and he'd been defiling that temple by giving it blessings this whole time, and he wants to torture that priest to death just to get him back. So you basically lure that priest back and then bludgeon him to death with a mace, and you get a special mace, and it's pretty awful. I was looking for a way at some point to swap the tables around and help the guy, but it doesn't give you that option at all, ever.
Yeah, there's this other Daedra Prince thing where you have to sacrifice your follower to do it.
Okay, now let's move on to a Daedric Prince that's actually nice and fun. So I've been doing a lot of Mara quests, and Mara is the goddess of love. But there's also another goddess called Dibella, and she's the goddess of beauty. And she's always been my favorite in previous games because it's what a silly concept, you know, it's great. All the priestesses strip down nude and do rituals and stuff in the private rooms. Sounds excellent, right? So anyway, I met this guy in a bar and he wanted to have a drinking contest with me. I thought, okay, maybe...
Oh, is that how that quest starts? Because that one transports you halfway across the continent.
Yeah. So it's literally The Hangover, but in-game, where you have this drinking contest with the guy, and then you wake up in the Daedric Temple, the priestess tells you you're rubbing yourself up against the statue...
Yes, and you polluted and you littered her temple.
Yeah.
And to even get her to talk to you, you have to go pick a bunch of stuff off the floor.
And then, yeah. And then you go, you find out that you went to one of these small towns, stole a guy's goat and sold it to a giant. Then you find out that you proposed to someone and you were bragging about it back in Whiterun and wanted to buy a wedding ring. And you go back to this other place, which I'd already cleared out twice before, so I had to clear it out a third time, go through a magic portal to this grove, and lo and behold, there's your drinking buddy, and he turns out to be the Daedric Prince of Debauchery, which explains why you were rubbing yourself up against Dibella. And he's giving me a mage staff.
Shaggoth, the Daedric Prince of Insanity, he just basically... set you through a little trial through the mad mind of a emperor, Plagueis the Third, and you get a magic staff at the end, but it's not all that useful. But at least he doesn't kill or torture anyone like Clavicus's Vile, who seems to be a real dick. Because at the end, he wants you to go get an axe. And then when you come back with Barbaz, he wants you to either kill Barbaz or give him the axe, and then be done with it. And I just gave him the axe because the damn dog is so annoying. It's constantly shoving me all over the place. And at one point when I was smelting in Whiterun, he would actually get on my shovel like I was about to put him into the smelter. It was insane.
Well, that's what your followers do, too, more or less. You know, you get into a combat, you're blasting fire. There's this straight line of fire that any idiot can see, and they decide, whoa, I guess that's where I should go.
Yeah.
And then they piss and moan about you blasting them.
Yeah, I think the companion AI is a little bit... I'd almost say it's actually slightly worse than Fallout New Vegas. Fallout New Vegas, I don't remember this happening anywhere near as much.
Well, no, it might have, but the thing about Fallout New Vegas is that your companions couldn't die.
That's true, right? They just get knocked unconscious and you're right. And they'd run off and they'd get knocked out and you'd have to find their body and wake them up after you kill them.
Right, everything. This is a reversion to Fallout 3 rules, where in Fallout 3 your followers could die.
I actually prefer it this way.
Well, I don't know if I prefer it or not. I'm just saying
I find it highly humorous when these people keep dying. It's inconvenient when they're carrying a bunch of stuff for you, though. Like, 20 dragon bones or whatever.
It's the only reason I've been upping my stamina is to be able to carry all the damn dragon bones.
So you were making lots of money by making stuff at the smith. But I got to say, I've been finding so much jewelry on my quests that maybe it's faster to smelt it. But, I'll drain out a merchant with one sale with this stuff every time.
Yeah, same here.
Or you could join the Dark Brotherhood and do their quest line and make a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm making some money with the Thieves Guild right now.
At the end, you get a pretty big chunk of change.
Nice. Well, I was actually thinking when I do the Dark Brotherhood, I would disband it at the end.
Oh, do you have that? Is that an option you get?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can just ignore them. You can't really disband them.
No, that's not what I...
Because I finished it, and it didn't give me that option.
Maybe it depends on what you do.
Well, it's... a really straightforward plot line.
Well, so one of the things we were going to talk about is the main quest a little bit. Now, I have to reference this. I haven't finished the main quest yet.
Neither
partly
have I.
Because even as I'm on the main quest, it sends you across the continent with each thing. You know, you go to City 1. Now we want you to go 5,000 miles over that way. And, of course, your horse is dead, so you have to hoof it. So... the problem I get into is I go to one town, I do the part of the quest I'm supposed to do, And then I'm on my way to the next one, and then there's the cave, and another cave, and another cave, and I'm thinking, you know, there might be something good in there. So I get bogged down. I think, how far am I? I've returned the horn to the Greybeards. I've gone through the embassy, which really made me hate the Thalmor a lot. And let's see, I got Ember, the guy you're supposed to get for Delphine, the old head of the Blades.
So you're about like halfway, probably.
Is that halfway?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's about as far as I've gotten in the main quest. And Scott, you had finally just started the main quest. How far have you gotten?
I got to the Greybeards, and I now have to go get a horn from a tomb to bring it back to them to learn. I guess to get another word. There's a lot of words to learn all over the damn place. And quests...
The cool thing about the words is that it turns out, and I hadn't realized this at first, but each word, each power, actually, you can learn three words for.
Yeah, I didn't realize that at first either.
And the Greybeards actually give you some ones for free as you do their quests.
That's awesome. They gave me a second word for the Unrelenting Force, and then they gave me the Whirlwind one.
Yeah, the Whirlwind one I haven't found that useful. I've used the Ethereal one because when you're doing the Thalmor quest, unless you want to lay waste to every single one of the elves there, which is useful in its own right, but some of them are pretty tough. The Ethereal one I used quite extensively on that quest just to avoid some of the people I didn't want to have to fight. The one that makes you invisible.
I like the Marked for Death one.
See, I haven't found that useful. You know what I find useful is turning them to ice. Because I'll turn them to ice, then I'll back off, wait for them. If half the time they die anyway, but if they don't die outright, then I just fireball them from a distance.
We're killing dragons?
No, anything that you use with the shout. The shout power I like best is the ice, is the one that freezes them solid, because a lot of things will just die outright if you wait long enough. And then even the things that don't, you can back up enough that you can fireball them into submission.
Well, I found that, you know, I don't want to fireball them if I'm using the ice form, because that melts them pretty much instantly.
Well, no, I wait for the ice to melt.
Whereas, so I like to, if I'm going to freeze them, then I'll zap them with electricity. But some of them are immune to spark, so, or absorb a lot of spark. I did a quest for Periite, the god Periite, to kill one of his followers who's gone off and doing the wrong thing. And that guy I found really hard to kill, and he didn't really have anything special except that he was absorbing about 20 magic points into an amulet of his. And that was very annoying.
Yeah, no, I found the fire takes care of most things. And ice, even if the ice doesn't damage that much, it stops them, and then you can back off.
Yeah, but swapping spells is not fast this game.
No, I used the ice from the shout. Back off. Fireball.
I use fire breath because I want the AoE effect. I want to, you know, you get a whole bunch of guys in a hallway and you blast them with fire and they all start burning.
That's why I like the enchantment. I was able to take an enchantment from a dagger and put it on a sword and have a big flaming sword.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that too. I've got some, you know, my Archmage robes give me plus 40 magic air and 100% regen speed. I'm wondering if it's possible if you rip enough of these things apart to put together some light armor that gives you something even better than that.
You can actually put two enchantments on one item if you get your smithing skill or enchantment skill up.
Yeah, it's definitely an area that I haven't explored at all. I'll have to look into it at some point in my next playthrough, probably.
Well, this tells me there's so many different ways to play the game based on those various skill trees. I mean, there's parts of the skill tree I barely looked at.
Well, when I did this prison thing, on the way out of the prison thing in my car, you go through some Dwemer territory, and there were these two of those Dwemer ball things. And you've only got like a shiv and your magic, basically, and some rags. You don't have your items. So this is the only time in the game where the plot point strips you of all your stuff so far. And I have to stress how much that being captured and stripped of your stuff annoyed me in the DLC for Fallout New Vegas and Fallout 3. So this at least was a plot point that made sense. You know, you're getting thrown in jail. But on the way out, yeah, but because I was in so much trouble here, I can't summon a dragon underground. But minor spoiler, after you complete the main questline, you can summon a hero. So I summoned a hero, and he was able to fight the spheres off for me, and I got out.
What do you mean by summon a hero? I mean, is this like a generic hero, or is this a specific person?
An ancient dragonborn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he appears as a ghost and kicks butt, and he does a few shouts, but does die. He died to one of the spheres, but I'd already beaten the spheres down a bit, so I was able to finish off the last sphere and get out of there. It's weird. I want to talk about the jail thing, because when you're in there with this Forlorn thing, basically there's a guy in the prison who is essentially like a terrorist leader of the Forlorn, and he's been giving instructions to people outside the prison to conduct basically a guerrilla warfare for 20-odd years. And I get in there, and he's making me jump through hoops talking to people, hearing about their sob stories about how the Nord this, the Nord that, and it's like, dude, I'm Nord. You're talking about fighting a war against me. You're talking about the injustices against you from Nords, my people. This is my land that you claim we took off you. Why am I jumping through hoops for you? Here, have some fireball. And it failed one quest line, but then continued the other quest line, saying you killed him. Good. That was a plot point. Keep going. And I left everybody in the jail at that point. As far as I'm concerned, they could rot.
You see, there's so many small touches in this game like that that I like. I mean, there was a cave that I was just walking through. I think it's called Liar's Depths or Liar's Cave or something like that. And as you walk in, a bunch of bandits are being slaughtered by Falmer.
Yeah.
And it's happening as you walk in. So it's kind of cool. I mean, the thing is that there's so many things where, you know, obviously it's a script point where whenever you walk in, this is going to happen. But from an immersion standpoint, it really feels like you've walked in and into the middle of something you're not fully understanding.
Hey, James, you know there's annoying people who walk up to you on the street and hand out flyers for their church? Yeah, that was me last night at the Temple of Mara. At the end of the main quest line, you get a minor quest to spread the love of Mara, and you get 20 pamphlets that you got to hand out.
See, now what you should get is you should get pamphlets to spread for Talos so that you could really torque off the Thalmor.
Hell yeah, and I do it in solitude too.
You got a Talos amulet you could do that with. Just wear it, okay. I mean.
They didn't get upset for wearing that, did they?
No. I don't know.
I wear it because it increases the shout recharge.
It does, yeah.
A lot of people in Riften wear Talos amulet.
I found that Talos amulet, but I haven't used it because one of the ones I've got from, I think the Archmage one I got, was better for me. From a Magicka standpoint.
Yeah, I think I'm getting a bit mixed and muddled about what it is I want to wear, as in there's the masks, there's the amulets and the rings, and I've been swapping between several of them because stuff that I bled to get, like that special Mage's Quest amulet, right, it just doesn't seem as appealing as some of the other things that give me, say, 50% health regeneration speed.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much stuff around, and you really have to consider, I mean, to some extent, the quest I did where I had to infiltrate the embassy helped me a lot because they said you can only take a limited number of things in. Now, I don't know, maybe I could have given the guy everything I had, but it made me actually stop and think about what I was really using.
Yeah.
And I ditched a bunch of it in a chest.
I was wearing the Blades heavy armor for the longest time, and I'm not anymore. I wore the Thieves Guild armor for barely a second. So now I've got my Archmage robes on and some anti-frost boots and stuff like that, you know, it's definitely, I don't know, I think at some point I'm going to start crafting dragon armor and doing enchanting on it and maybe get something really good that way.
Yeah, enchanting the dragon armor is like, it's like indestructible armor. Because that's what I've been...
How do you make dragon armor?
You take dragon scales and dragon bones and leather strips and throw it all together.
Just throw it all together.
So basically I shouldn't be selling all this stuff is what you're telling me.
No, come on, dragons are plentiful. You should...
Well, there's enough dragons.
Yeah, dragons are plentiful, trust me.
I have like 22 dragon bones sitting in a pile next to the smithing bench in Whiterun.
I'm actually putting my level up points into stamina. The levels are coming much slower now because I just want to carry more.
That's the only reason I put stuff in stamina is because I need to carry more. Although the best perk you get is the ones that say thus and such a, you know, thus and such a destruction costs 50% less. That's just awesome, you know, because you want to be able to keep bashing things. If you're going down the mage path like I am, you really want to be able to wail on things because your armor just pretty much blows compared to the guys who are swinging swords.
Well, you can still wear the same armor. That's another thing that's different between Fallout and this game, is that there isn't like a minimum level to wear heavy armor or light armor or anything like that.
You can just, no, it's not that, yeah. I couldn't wear that armor. It's that I want to be wearing the stuff that gives me the boost up on magicka.
Yes, definitely.
Well, you could destroy the Archmage armor and then enchant some heavy armor, and then you'd have the same effect, but you'd have heavier armor.
You're assuming that I've spent any time giving points to myself in the enchantment tree, which I haven't yet. That's the problem, is that I've been spending it all in the destruction tree.
Then enchant more stuff.
I've been kind of spreading it out because I don't really like all the perks that are in the one arm tree, and just kind of saving it up for some of the blacksmith stuff.
What the heck was that?
Somebody had music on in the background.
I think it might have been Scott. I mean, I beelined the destruction. You know, I completed the destruction line all the way up to 100. So I've got everything unlocked there. So now I'm sort of like, well, I've got some archery stuff, and I've got some sneak stuff, and I've got some heavy armor stuff. But what do I really need? I don't know.
Actually, I've gotten sneak over 30 just by using it.
Yeah, my sneak's up high, but the perks are the things that give you 20, 40, 60% bonus damage on a sneak attack.
Oh, yeah, but I think in another playthrough where I'm playing somebody who specializes more in weapons, that's when I'm going to do that.
Smithing's a good skill to get up. All you got to do is make iron daggers all day and that thing will shoot up like crazy.
Okay, so what do you need to make an iron dagger?
Iron ore and leather strips.
Yeah, okay, and they're pretty easy to come by.
Yeah, and it's cheap if you want to buy it.
You just buy the materials?
Crazy levels making those iron daggers, Austin.
Yeah, it works. I leveled up like 5 times just by making a bunch of iron daggers. I wanted that dragon armor too badly.
What did you need to be able to make the dragon armor?
Just some dragon bones and scales.
No, but you were saying you were leveling up, right?
Yeah, you need 100 skill for blacksmith.
You need to complete the entire.
You can do one side of it. Like if you go up the right or left side, as long as you get to the middle.
And that specifically unlocks smithing with dragon bones and dragon scales.
Yeah, when you take the perk for dragon armor.
Wow. Okay, that's definitely something to aim for.
Yeah, that's interesting. It just tells me, it illustrates how many different ways there are to play this game.
Yeah, well, my goal next is to get into the Inner Sanctum of Dibella's Temple. I don't know about you guys. I've got the Amulet of Dibella, and that gives you plus 15 speech, which is really nice. Especially when trading. I accidentally sold it. I was trading with a person, and I thought, I want to put on this amulet now so that I can get better trading. So I clicked on it. That's all for them, so they had to buy it back. So I had this massive loss. I think I lost about like 400 gold in that exchange or something. Silly, very, very silly.
Making money in this game is like extremely easy if you know how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, even when you don't know how to do it, you just collect lots of. Like, if you go for the highest ratio of weight to value when you're going through dungeons and stuff, then every time you come out of the dungeon and go home and sell things, you're going to be able to max out more than 4 of the merchants every time.
Oh, yeah. The hardest part of making money, actually, is finding merchants where you can unload the stuff.
There's a perk for that where you can unload all your stuff on one, like, person. Like, they can buy it.
No, I mean that.
They don't have enough money to buy it all.
I know, yeah. But, like, if you find someone with a lot of money but they can't buy certain things, there's a perk you can get to sell everything to them.
That sounds nice. That's in the speech line?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I was thinking about pushing that up. Okay, well, I think on that note, that's probably enough for now. I know we had the extra long episode before, but that was because we missed a recording session halfway through the week. James was on a plane.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, I do that.
So that'll do for now, and we'll get back to you later, and hopefully next time we'll also have a Mackie. Oh, right, that's again, I've got to read that thing.
and yet again.
You could have prepared yourself, James, and jumped in there.
No, I'd much rather mock you for it, thanks.
Have you missed an episode? Need to subscribe to the iTunes feed? Want to join our Facebook group or join the Steam group? You can find these links and more at www.jrober.com/Thumcast, Thumcast. We'll be talking about Skyrim again soon. This is James. No, wait, I'm Michael. This is the problem when you read things off a script. This is Michael.
Austin.
James. Austin, Scott, come on.
James.
And Scott.
Play and the no music Mackie. Already.
So, oh, fine, whatever.